Today's daf is daf kuf aleph. We're holding the halakha mishnah and daf kuf amud beit. So continuing now with the definition of what consists of land areas that are sold. Yesterday we spoke about pathways, and the ending of the pathways had to do with the path or mokum kever, ma'amad for hespedim, and so on. And so indeed the mishnah continues now with the actual sale of a place of kfarot. Now, the way in which they used to bury, of course, was catacomb burial, as we see all around Eretz Yisrael, so that there was a cave that was Ma'arat Kfura, that was dug, and in that Ma'arat Kfura, there would be various niches, which are called the kuchim, for the body. The body was placed in a stone coffin, so that's considered to be part of the ground. Stone is part of the ground. And it was put into... Each body was put separately into one of these kuchen, into a new.
Original burial or
no, it depends. I mean, if someone died in the area of a mokum kura, so then he was buried there. If not, then generally was moved there later. Because they weren't able to go to Pinchas Mandel, the Jewish Observer ad, 24 hours a day. If you die, give a call to Pinchas Mandel and they'll bring you to kura. So... then they would indeed bury wherever the individual was nifter, and then after a year would move the remains into the kuch. But the size of the kuch was meant for an actual body, not just for broken remains. And so what the Mishnah wants to give us is the standard sizes that are included if somebody orders from a contractor a burial chamber. So then this is the standard size of a burial chamber. And what used to be, instead of what we have, Bate Kvarot, they would have what would be called a Shchunat Kvarot. It was a Shchunat because, so to speak, each person had a little house inside of a chatzar, which was then open into an outdoor chatzar, where everybody could gather at night and have nice conversations. That's the latest insanity around here you've heard, is to leave tape recorders at the Bate Kvarot so that you can hear the discussions at night. This is the latest religion insanity. And so you have an area in the middle. You have an area in the middle, and then you go down from that area, which is called the chotzer, into the ma'ara, and this would be a ma'ara on either side, or we'll see, Rabbi Shimon, all four sides, and then inside the ma'ara, you turning to the right or the left, or straight across from the door, there would be the actual kuchin. So now there's a machloket in our Mishnah about the sizes of all of these areas. So a person now sells, basically, a place which has a makom kfura, or he's a contractor, and he's mekabel mechaviro lasot lo kever. So then the way in which a kever is constructed is as follows. Ose tocha shel ma'ara. Now this is really a little bit unfair, because there's no such thing as a kever that only consists of one ma'ara. Nobody holds that. Except that what the Mishnah does is it starts on one end, describes one of the ma'arot. There needs to be a minimum of two, possibly a little bit of a pshimen, four. So you start... The cave, yeah, ma'ara is a burial cave. Two or four. So the crypt, basically. So that ma'ara, the first one, starts as follows. Then we get to the chotzer outside, and then we continue on to the second one. Because even though it would make sense, perhaps, if it was clear that everybody held that there were only two to describe first the chotzer and then how you go down, but since it's possible that you'll never get to the chotzer, which is certainly a little bit of a shimon, without first crossing, at least on top of the area of a ma'ara, we discuss the ma'ara first. But this is only one of the ma'arot. But the Mishnah doesn't bother telling you, exactly how, right away, that there's going to be two or going to be four. So the first ma'ara that you will make, this is the standard ma'ara, is a ma'ara that is arba amot al shesh. So that according to the Tanakhama, the standard ma'ara consists of a wall that is six amot long on either side. And you have now this distance four that's in between. Upoteach letocha shemone kuchin. And there will be a total of eight kuchin for eight burials inside of this crypt. Shalosh mikan v'shalosh mikan. Three along the longer walls, and shnayim mikenegdam, two facing the door. Each one of these kuchin, being archan arba amot, being four amot long, this would include the typical body height, which was 3 amot, plus enough area for the edge of the stone coffin, which is not negligible, plus, according to Tosafot, the head, which extends beyond, according to Tosafot's standard, 3 amot. So even though it's mashma in other cases that you can fit, but that's because you're making yourself fit over here, the mate is spread out on a bed, so to speak. So you have now, the distance is 4 amot long. Veruman should say shiva, not sheva, because we're talking over here about tvachim, which is masculine. So the height should be 7 tvachim high, which includes a standard, the coffin was 6 tvachim, which is a standard body height, plus a tefach above it to avoid tuma tamet, because we need poteach tefach to prevent the tuma from breaking out above the kever. So you'd have 7 tvachim, v'rochvan shisha, and the width, which is a body width again, is also 6 tvachim, which is an amma. Even though normally we say that the body itself is an amma, Tosis points out that that is a person who's dressed, standardly dressed. So you need an amma. An amma obviously would require slightly more than an amma to fit into. But over here, since a mate is only dressed in the beged of the mate, the tafrichim, so that's very thin. You don't need additional space for clothing. So rochvan shisha. So basically, each one of these kuchin is 1 amma wide. It's separated in order to make certain that we don't have any kind of collapsing of the area between. It's separated by an amma. So that gives us the 5 amot, 3 plus 2 spaces in between. And then at the edge, you have a half an amma between the beginning of the first kuch and a half an amma at the end of the last kuch, to your right or to your left, which gives you a very well, I don't know if you have any diagrams over here, the different prints have different diagrams, but whatever print you have should have a diagram showing you either to the right or left of the chotzer. On the next page, you can see very clearly how you have a half an amma on either side of the 3, and that equals 6. 3 kuchin is 3 amot, 2 amot between them is an additional 2 is 5, plus a half and half at either end is 6. And then the kuchin that you're facing, which is along the thinner width of the chatzar, of the ma'ara rather, are each 1 amma, that's 2, an amma between them is 3, and then a half an amma on either side is 4. So this gives us the 4x6 of the standard configuration. Rabbi Shimon Omer? Rabbi Shimon says, no, that's not the standard configuration. The standard configuration is actually, the Mara was longer, was 8 amod long by 6 amod wide, and it was able to hold 13 different kuchim. Now we have enough room for 4 on either side with the same configuration, so that gives us along the long side 4, and we have 3 instead of 2 mikenegda, and now that fits exactly the same way, and everything is fine. So we have the configuration of 1 plus the amma in between, plus we have echad miyamina petach, the echad min hasmo. So here too, if we have 4, that gives us 4 amot, and we have the 3 spaces over here that gives us the 7 amot, and 1 on either side gives us another amma. So that's 8 amot instead of the 6 amot. Basically the same idea. The only thing that he introduces, which is completely new, is that he adds an additional 1 to the right of the door and 1 to the left of the door, which sounds like he's talking about additional kuchin that are heading back in the direction from where you came in. So that directly next to the door on the right or the left would also be kuchin accessible from within the crypt, and they would be going underground in the area that's outside of the entrance to the crypt. Correct? So in other words, you have the doorway that's coming down, and you walk down into the burial cave, and then on either side of the door, there's also the kuchin that are heading on either side of the door, which you don't notice as you're walking down. But lamaisa, to the right or the left of the steps going down into the ma'ara, you're also walking alongside 2 bodies, 1 on either side of you, underground. That's how we assume he's talking about. I think I'm going to question this in a moment. Then, moving out from that ma'ara, again, as you see in your diagram, there is the common chatzer. So there's the commons. And the chatzer outside of the ma'ara also has to be provided by the contractor, or by a person who has sold such a makam. And that would be 6 by 6, enough room to hold the mita of the mate when they're bringing him in for burial, and the people that are supporting it, and the kovrim. And then you open up another ma'arat to the other side. So this chotzer has basically shtei ma'arot. So potech letocha shtei ma'arot, achat mikan, ve'achat mikan, and Rabbi Shimon argues on this as well. And it would be, Rabbi Shimon Omer, arba le'arba ruchoteh, it's four, in other words, it's surrounded. The ma'arot are on all four sides, even though that forces you to walk over the bodies in order to get to the chotzer in the middle. We apparently are not makbid, in other words, because it's not as if there's any permanent usage that's being made of the ground above. And because the entire access to this cemetery is underground, there's no indication above ground that you're walking on a cemetery. It's like the modern idea of houses that are underground for ecological reasons, and the top remains part of the great outdoors. So, Mamela, we're not makbid to walk to the chotzer. And in the chotzer, you have your entrances into the marot on all sides. It's not as if you're stepping on a grave, because you're just walking along the ground. The entrance to the grave has been the side.
Yeah, I don't understand. These are natural marot?
No, you dig them out.
No,
not necessarily. As Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, hakol lefi ha'sela. It all depends on what you're digging them into. So if you're digging them into something that is solid rock, what do you need an ama in between for? I mean, it's not going to collapse. You could even fit in more. If you're dealing with sandstone, maybe it needs more space between. You can't give a measurement like this without first telling me what it is that you're digging into. And therefore, you cannot make a rule like this, says Reb Shimon Gamliel. It's all going to be a function of what the area is made out of in its consistency and strength. Now, the question that the Gemara has is understanding Rabbi Shimon. Where are these two additional ostensible kvarot, which we're assuming are on either side of the door, because he said, echad miyamin, echad mismal, where exactly do they go? I mean, the way we understand it, the simple way, is that they're going in the same direction as you are coming down, and that therefore they're extending under the chotzer. Now that's a little weird, because I mean, if they're extending under the chotzer, asks the Gemara, then we're making the area of the gathering where people will stand and maybe say a hesped or something in that area, we're being koveya amokam over the kvarot. Now, that's not the same. I mean, even according to Rabbi Shimon, who allows you to walk over, obviously, the kvarot, because he says there's one on each side, so there's no way to get there unless you're going to walk over kvarot. But, I mean, even he was only talking about walking. He wasn't talking about making an auditorium over the bodies that are extending into the chatzer. The way he's talking now is that each one of these chatzeros has got two kuchen heading under, I mean, each one of these marot has two kuchen heading under the chatzer. I mean, that doesn't make sense, that he would make that the place where the chatzer would be. So, hani treila hechashadilu, which direction do these two kuchen extend to? Ilavaroi. If they're extending outwards, back into the chatzer, from the area of the door, on either side of the door, so then, hakamitshilu, then you're trampling over them. Not to mention the fact that it seems quite clear that the area of the chatzer itself is free of any connection to graves. Because atznan, chatzer hakever ha'olmeid betocho tahor. If somebody helicoptered in, so that he didn't have to pass over any graves in order to get to the chotzer of the kever. So even according to Rabbi Shimon, it would be nichnas b'shira tevo migdal. So he basically came in by helicopter. So he wasn't exposed now to any of the metim on the sides. And he's standing in the chotzer kever. He's tohar. And there's no problem of exposure to the mate. So that seems to imply that there are no kvarot underneath the chotzer. So there's no kvarim here. And therefore, there would be no exposure. Now, I'm sure that you're troubled by the question of what exposure to tumor are we talking about, since we've already established that there's going to be poteach tefach anyway. And poteach tefach means that there's no tumor above a kever. So what tumor would be referring to that we're asking on Rabbi Shimon? So there's two approaches to this at the Rishonim. One approach is that even though a poteach tefach is matzah from tumas ohel, that's only midiraita. But midirabonin, the rabbonin were gozer, and there's still tumor. That's the Ran's pshat. The Ritva says it slightly differently by saying that the truth is that you're right, there shouldn't be any tumah, but since there's always a chashash of partial collapse, or where people weren't careful to dig completely to have a poteach tefach, So because of that, we have to be chayish always, that maybe the area that you were over was a place without a poteach tefach. The difference between them is that according to the Ran, even if you know it's poteach tefach, it's patamim in a rabbanim. According to the Ritva, if you knew it was poteach tefach, so then there would be no problem. Let's say you have a laser alarm in there at the moment that it changes the size, so it warns you from tuma. So according to the Ritva, then there's no problem, because you know that there's nothing to be... But according to Ran, there's still a tumim and a rabbanim. Okay, so one is like a suffix, and therefore you'll have to be chayish that you were over on an area that didn't have poteach, and the other one is your vadei tame if there was definitely kvarim underneath that area. Sorry? A poteach tefach again means that there's a tefach of airspace between any area of the body and the area on top of it. And that holds the tumah in to the place where it is. But if there's less than a tefach, then the area itself is not considered to be an ohal tuma, in which case the tuma is bokat. It breaks through, so to speak, because it's the ground now is permeable to the tuma, it goes straight through the ground, and it's batami anything above it.
Now that tuma has to be on both sides of the mace?
No, above the mace.
Just above, and not forward and back. Right. Just only above.
Correct. All right, so then it can't be that these kfarot are going back towards the direction of the entrance, the way we thought, for two reasons. First of all, the area is tahar. Secondly, it seems quite inappropriate to be koveh the chotzer over the bodies. So then what's the solution? Om Rabbi Yezir Rabbi Chanina, the only solution is, the Ovid Lahu Kemin Nagar. Basically, just as we've used that word before, it's this bolt that you stick in to hold the door. So we see it very often, the old doors here in the old city. So that goes straight down vertically. So apparently what he's talking about is a vertical burial. So you make two vertical places for Aronot, either side of the door, and two of the Meitim are meant to be buried inside that kuch, facing up and down instead of reposing on their mitah. Rabbi Yochanan kfurat chamorim izog. Rabbi Yochanan holds that that's like burying a donkey. What do you mean, you vertical burial? Who ever heard of such a thing? That's basically you're throwing a body into a hole because there's nothing there. There's nothing there that allows the body to be in repose. Well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's true. We obviously can't say it's talking about Kemin Nagar. So what it would be, Alibi Rabbi Yochanan, we would have to say that even though he said on either side of the door, what he meant was facing either side of the door. So in other words, what he's talking about is adding a diagonal kuch on the edges of the wall facing the door that go in the direction to the right and the left. So again, as you see in your upper diagram, Alibi Rabbi Yehuda, besides the three that are directly across the door and the four that are on either side of the door, as you're walking along the long wall, there would be an additional two kuchim that would be extending in the diagonal between the two on the edges of the long wall and the short wall, facing the door. So the Ovid Bekeren Zavit. That doesn't make any sense. If you put them in the Keren Zavit, then Hanagi Kuchen Ha'adadi. What happens is that you have three Kuchen bumping into each other at the entrance. Instead of having the, what you said was you need an Amma to make sure it doesn't collapse. And over here, they're ending up at a point. If they end up at a point, then that area is simply going to be corroded by Beshek Hazman. It will deteriorate and the whole wall will collapse. Well, what are you going to have? Three Kuchen and have one entrance? So the whole area that opens into the Kuchen is now not going to differentiate between one and the other? It's crazy. So that can't possibly be what it means. Rav Ashi, well, yes it can, because you're talking about two dimensions, and this is a three-dimensional Mahara. Who's to say that it's all at the same height? It's not at the same height. So you don't have a problem. So it's true that each body will have its own area. You won't have bodies under each other and so on and so forth. And it still could be at the diagonal. But you can have these a little bit lower. If they're a little bit lower, then they're not going to break the entranceway to the other kuchim. And Mamela, there's no problem. So you can have it fitting perfectly well. Well, you think that's so crazy? That the kuchim are not all in the same height? I'll prove to you that anyway they're not in the same height. There's no way that they could be in the same height. For a very simple reason. Because if we're ilote mahachi, it's got to be talking about b'ma'amik, that you make it in a different level. And that these two are deeper. Because if you believe that I am in any way reading something in over here, I'd like you to explain to me how, according to Rabbi Shimon, you could possibly have four ma'arot. Because if you put in four ma'arot, there's no way to avoid a crossover of the outermost kuchen with each other. If they're a bishop, according to Tanakama, these kukin are only on either side of the chatzers. Okay, so they never get near each other. But if you've got four of these things, and each one of them has the kuchen sticking out, then obviously there's going to be a crossover of the ones going to the right from the, let's say, the ones on top. So they're going to go to the right. And then those are going to be the ones that are going to the left of the ma'ara that was opened to the right of the chatzer. So there's no way to avoid crossing. So how in the world do you fit in all of these kuchen, according to Rabbi Shimon? The only possible way is to alternate levels. So if you alternate levels, then you don't have a problem. So clearly that must be what he's referring to here too, since he's taking for granted that there's an alternating levels. So when he says, kineged ha'petach, he means on alternating levels. That's all. There's no other way to read it. So it's got to be ela b'ma'amik. The only way that could possibly work is if you're using all three dimensions over here. So there's b'ma'amik. Hachanami b'ma'amik. Rav Huna b'reder of Yeshua Amar. Rav Huna says that. Look, I can't prove that you're wrong about the ma'amik in the ones that are on the diagonal here, but there's certainly no proof to say that the only way that Rabbi Shimon's fits is by saying that he's ma'amik on the ones that would be crossing over. Because there's an alternative. Suppose all of the kfarot over here are put in on a diagonal. In which case, what you basically have is the description of a lulav, right? If you take a look at your lower picture there, the lower picture describes a sort of an open fan leaf, which is, of course, the way we call that's the charut, the lulav that has opened. So the lulav that has opened, each branch goes out on a diagonal. So suppose Rabbi Shimon holds that we fit in all of these kuchin along a diagonal so none of them touch each other. So that could still work perfectly well. Who's to say that according to Rabbi Shimon, it has to be that everything is going at a 90-degree angle? I say everything is going at a 45-degree angle. If everything is at a 45-degree angle, then nothing touches each other. And then you can fit in all of these kuchin. So that's your solution. I mean, it could be that you're right about the ones on the side, but don't try to tell me that the only way to understand Rabbi Shimon is that he's built in to the Mishnah concept of alternating levels of the various kfarim over here. Says the Gemara, it's a bit embarrassing, because Hadar of Unabred of Yeshua Baruta, I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, just do the simple mathematical calculations, you'll see that there's no possible way that that works. It's all Baruta, I mean, it's completely off the wall. Michti, I mean, analyze now what the diagonal would be, and then try to fit all of these kukim along that diagonal. So draw a diagonal from the top of the upper Mara to the extended top of the Mara that's to the right of it, to 90 degrees of it, okay? So what have you done? You've described the diagonal of the square of the Mara. That's what you've done, correct? Because it's also a Mara for all intents and purposes. In other words, let's draw 9 Mara, so to speak, instead of the 4. So we'll have 3, 3, and 3, the square of the 3. Now draw a diagonal from the top one to the one that's actually there, to the right of the chatzit. Okay. That is the diagonal of 8 amot, because you were talking about 8 amot. Now, if you take the square root of 2, which is basically what you have by the Pythagorean theorem, let's make it simple. We'll make it 1.4. It's 1 and 2 fifths. So now, if you multiply by that, by 1.4 times 8, you sure ain't going to come out with enough space to be able to have all of these 8 kuchin that you're putting in there. Because remember, you need the amma between all of the 8 kuchin. So how in the world are you going to... Let's figure it out, says the Gemara. Let's do the math. We can simplify the whole operation of the square roots by simply saying that for every amma that you have along the square, the diagonal is going to extend an amma and 2/5, which is 1.4. Okay, balaksana. So now, what do you have when you multiply 8 times the 1.4? So kama habiluhu, chatzre v'chumsha. Okay, that gives you only 11 1/5. Okay, you have 8 kuchin. So now, kuchin kama havi tmanya. How in the world are tmanya v'chatzre v'chumsha echemashkachat luhu? There's no possible way to fit that in. You're going to need way more than that.
Because of the amma in between.
It's ridiculous. So just forget about that. Now, the truth is, we're going to see later on, that actually Rav Huna b'reder of Yeshua does have a way in which it can work out, but it requires different assumptions about the distance, the necessary distance between the kuchin, and we'll see later.
You can't use it here.
Sorry?
You can say ma'amik here also.
Well, he's trying to disprove ma'amik. That's the point. That was his whole reason for saying this. Okay, so there'd be no way to fit it in. I mean, that's a very simple, classy way of showing that there's no way to fit it in. Simply draw the diagonal. Since each one of these kukim, for all intents and purposes, is crossing that diagonal, so it's not going to fit. Okay, so there is an alternative, though. There is an alternative. It could be that the outermost, the innermost of the kukim, are made for miscarriages, in which case they're tiny. So that it doesn't have to, they don't hit each other. And therefore you still have no raya that we're talking about a ma'amik. Maybe it's not ma'amik. In other words, if we take, let's say, the norm should be that all of the first kukin on the right-hand side as you walk in are just very short to fit in a fetus. Yeah, so then nothing hits anything else. That's fine, as long as each one of them has that picture. So maybe that's what he's talking about. We'll see later on that we use that svara of kukha for nefilim for other purposes, so we'll apply it over here. So therefore, we now don't have a raya that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's b'ma'amik, but we certainly have no reason to say that it would not be b'ma'amik. Now, tnan hata, when it comes to the Mishnah in Ohalot, where over there our chashash is the din of moving a mate. So the halach is that if it's a beit hakfarot, or this type of thing, a shchuna of kuchin, of metim, then it's usher to move this. And therefore, if somebody would find a body when he's doing construction, excavation, or whatever, he would be allowed to move a mate only if there were no indication that we're talking about such a chatzer. Now, since we have a standard shape for the chatzer, we know how we would have to dig in order to establish whether indeed this is a place in which there were kuchin. Now, the definition in the Mishnah of where we would have to dig basically is going to obviously have implications for our sugya. Because however that setup is, that's going to tell you what you have to be choshesh if you find bodies. All right, now what's interesting is that Mishnah does not fit the vision that we have here, not according to the Tanakhama, and not according to Rabbi Shimon, of what the standard construction was for such a chotzer of kvarim. Because it says there in the Mishnah, now, the truth is there's a lot of extra issues that we're bringing in here that aren't really Nogayar Sugya, but we're quoting the Mishnah in whole until we get to the part that's important. So, Hamotzei Meit Mushkav Kedarko. So, the first thing that we have to establish is that what we're talking about over here is an actual burial, and not simply a body that fell there, or that somebody was murdered and was left there, or was put there temporarily in order to move ultimately into a family plot, and then for some reason they weren't able to move the body. Now, in those cases, the burial wouldn't have been a standard burial, so that either it was no burial at all, it was kikvurat chamorim, or the mace was not laid out the way it would normally be for eternal repose, so to speak, but would be in a position which would indicate that this is a body that's meant to be moved. So if the first thing you have to establish is that the mate that was found in your excavations was mushkav kidarko. So now you already begin to get a little nervous. So this is a mate that's there. He hasn't been cut up. We don't see any indication that somebody cut off his head and or that he was under attack. The body is busted up. It's a normal kura. Nonetheless, as long as there's only one mate there, there's no iser of moving the mate as long as notzlo ve'etefusato. The area, this we learn out of the Sinai, that if it's an entire body, it's actually merumas, as Yaakov Avinu says, that when he asks them to take him from Mitzrayim, he says, unasatani mi Mitzrayim, which means, Rederish, take some of the dirt of Mitzrayim with my body. Because the area under the body is considered to be part of the mate. We'll get to these dinim, and we've had these dinim in various places. And memela, if it's a complete body, that is not maguyad, or has not lost any of its parts or blood beforehand, so then you have to take the loose dirt that's under the body along with it, because that's assumed to include some of the decayed matter of the mate. And as long as you take the body with the tfusato, you can move it, and there's no problem to stop construction by the antiquities authority. No, that's not exactly their concern. Shnayim, if you find two bodies, it's also not a problem. Notlan vetfusatan. But where things start to get sticky is where you find three. So now, once you've got three that are all mushkav kedarko, and they're lying next to each other. Now that surely looks like you have stumbled over a mokom kvora, chatzar kvorot. So then it depends on how much space separates them. So then if you have now, im yesh b'neihem, from 4 amot through 8 amot, then you're in trouble. Harezer shkunat kvorot. Because that would be the standard type of kvora. So if that's the case, if you can fit 4 amot here, or maximum of 8, minimum of 4, maximum of 8. Minimum of 4, maximum of 8. Okay, from the outside one to the other one. Now, we don't have a way of fitting in 3 bodies in 4. We only have 2 bodies in 4. So already we see we've got a little bit of a problem here. Certainly these measurements. Okay, but we're going to talk, this is what the Gemara is getting to, that we're going to, part of what we're going to be questioning later on. So, im yesh b'neihem mi arba ad shmona. Whoops, shmona. Well, certainly according to Tanna Kamma, we never have shmona either. Because the maximum that you have along the long wall is 6. So we wouldn't have 8. Okay, that you could say maybe is going a little bit of Rabbi Shimon. So that would be 8. And so how are there 3 bodies that are separated by 8? Well, maybe one of them had collapsed or something. Okay. So arezu shkunat kvarot. As long as it fits now the area, what you have to do now is check. And you don't know where the rest of the shkuna is. So now you have to do a check, taking every possible direction, because this might be 3 bodies that are buried along the short wall. If it's buried along a short wall, and you'll have to assume this could be, of course, the bottom ma'ara, so to speak, or the top ma'ara of the chotzer. So you're going to have to check both directions. Okay. So then you'll have to, let's assume that it's the far wall from the entrance of the upper Me'ara. So then you're going to have to check all the way back to the far wall of the Me'ara that's on the other side, possibly. Or maybe this is that one, and then you'll have to check in the other direction. Okay, but whatever it is, you're going to have to be bodik b'menu l'halan esrim ama. So you're going to have to go 20 amot. Now the truth is, 20 amot doesn't quite hack it. And that's going to be another problem. Gemara is going to ask. Because how exactly does 20 amot hack it here? If this is the far wall, and we're talking about another wall of 8 to get to the other one, that's 16 to get all the way to the other wall, plus the distance of the chatzar, which is 6. Last I heard, that's 22, not 20. So you're not going to be able to get to the bodies on the other side unless you check 22 amot. That's going to... On whatever it could be. You have to figure out what might this be. Is it the long wall? Is it the short wall? And so on. Okay, but that's going to be our trouble. We're going to have to get into tomorrow. Matzah echad b'sof esrim amah. Now, if you find another body there at the very end of your search, 20 amot away, then you're going to have to check now to see whether perhaps this might be part of yet another section, which was the chotzer from yet one that was on the other to the north or the south. Maybe you're just bumping into it. And you're going to have to check bodek b'men of l'halan esrim amah. Sheragalayim l'davar. Look, things look very suspicious over here. If you already found a shkunat kvarot, so then perhaps this is next to another shkunat kvarot. Tosef says there's only if it's ragalayim l'davar, meaning that you see an indication. For instance, the bodies may be facing in an opposite direction here. So if they're facing the opposite direction, you have to assume that they were inserted from the other side. If they're inserted from the other side, you're going to have to check the other side, because maybe that's part of another chatzar kvarot. Okay, but in any event, this is going to really get you into trouble, because, you know, shilomitchilu matzo not lovet fusato. Look at this. If you would have just found one of these beitim, boy, you could have gotten away with murder. So if you would have gotten rid of the bodies as you found them, you would have been in a lot better shape than by front. Now you've stumbled over a chatzar kvarot. This is bad news. So now you're really in trouble with continuing your digging. Okay. Now, obviously, this is going to land us in trouble tomorrow with the sizes that we're assuming over here, which simply don't fit any of the mandiyamrim that we've spoken about until now. But we shall continue. We'll review these measurements again. Bezrat Hashem. Hamocher makom lechaviro lasot lo kever v'chen hamekabel mechaviro lasot lo kever oseh tocha shel ma'ara 406. ופותר לתוכה 8 kuchen, 3 מכאן ו3 מכאן ו2 מחנגדן. Each one of the kuchen is orchan 400, ורובן 7, ורוחבן 6. Rabbi Shimon אומר, עושה תוכה שמרה 600 על 8, ופותח לתוך השלושה עשר קוף, ארבע מכאן וארבע מכאן, ושלושה מכנגדן, פלוס אחד מימין הפתח, ואחד מן השמאל, ויוצא חוצר נאו, according to everybody, על פי המערה, שש על שש, which is the size of קיבלו המיטה וקובריה, and says the Tanna Kamma פותח לתוך השתי מערות, אחת מכאן ואחת מכאן. Rabbi Shimon אומר, no, it's ארבע מערות, לארבע רוחותיה. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel אומר, all of these measurements are contingent on the building material, in other words, on the consistency of the earth or the stone that you're digging through. So הכל לפי הסלע. Now, honey tray that Rabbi Shimon added, echad miyamin ve'echad mismol, la'ech ha'shani lahu. Ilav arayi, does that make sense? Or k'middashi lahu. Not to mention the fact, v'tu ha'tznan, achotzer ha'kever ha'omed b'tocho tahor. Omer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina, apparently he holds the avid lahu k'min nagar, and the metim are buried vertically. But Omer Rabbi Yochanan, that's a k'furat chamorim. And it's usher to bury vertically. Well, the Rabbi Yochanan will have to say, David lo bekeren zavit. How could you do that? Va'nagi kuchen la'adadi, and you're going to collapse the walls closer to the edge. Om Rav Ashi, it's talking about on different levels, of course. B'ma'amik, di'ilote ma'achi, arba ma'arot, Rabbi Shimon. How could you ever fit? Echi avid lo ha'kanagi kuchen la'adadi. Clearly, he's talking about mamik. So, b'chinami b'mamik. Ravuna b'reder of Yeshua Amar, arba mi'arot l'Rabbi Shimon could simply be on all sides at 45 degrees. So, the avid like charuta, but that doesn't really work. Well, Ravuna b'reder of Yeshua is berute himirte. Kol amta beribua is an amta v'trei chumshi balachsona. So, kamei la'avilu. Times 8 is Chatzrei V'chumsha. And how many kuchen do you want to fit at the Chatzrei V'chumsha? Tamanya. How the heck are you going to fit Tamanya by Chatzrei V'chumsha? Eche Meshkachatla. Elo HaDeravun HaBerav Yehoshua Berutei. Now, Ibait Ema, there's an alternative to the Ma'amik, Kiryom Reb Shisha Bered Ravidi, that the ones on one side were Miyuchat for Nefelim, and that could be the case. Rachinami ben Nefeli. Tnan hatam hamotzei meit mushkaf kedarko notlo ve'et tfusato shnayim notlan ve'et tfusatan. But once he's matzah shlosha im yesh b'nei mi'arbat shmona arezu shkunat kvarot ubodek b'menu v'lahalan esrimama matzah echad b'sof esrimama bodek b'menu v'lahalan esrimama sheraglayim ledamar she'ilu mitchila matzah notlo ve'et tfusato.